Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
Welcome to the Patriot Nation Radio Network, where this time you can get whatever you want, because we have a great guest tonight on the American Legion Show, Mr. Randy Parham. He's going to be our guest. He's actually running for Congress for the state of Alaska. And we'll be happy to have him on here in a minute when he gets on. And we're going to learn a lot tonight. And like the song says, you can't get what you want, but if you try hard enough, you could. That's all that matters, right? So without any further ado, and by the way, I'm in Ohio. We're not on the side, high in the middle. We haven't had really any snow yet. It's been great. But our guest, in my mind, and everybody else's that don't live in Alaska, that's what it's like all the time. So I'm bringing on Mr. Randy Parham. So, Randy Parham, welcome to the show. This is Kevin White, your host.
Hey.
Glad to have you aboard.
Oh, Kevin, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So you're from the state of Alaska, and my misperceptions are it's always snowing and cold up there. It's probably not true, I'm sure. I hear it's beautiful now.
No, it is snowing right now. It is winter. Obviously that. Depending on the time of the year, we do have a normal summer. It is a little warmer than most of the lower 48 states, but it's a beautiful state. You know, it's a beautiful time of the year to be out there. You know, even with the snow and the weather, the cold weather, negative 30 is good for the bones.
Okay. All right. So what I want to do right now is I want to introduce you to everybody. You are a former Army soldier and a former blog talk radio podcaster, and now you're on a more advanced, higher level, evolved radio program. If you could tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, absolutely. So I did just retire out of the Army back in September of 2020. I did 22 years as a chemical operations specialist, or for those that might know it better, as a CBRN guy, you know, the guy that makes you puke in the gas chamber. Yep. So I did that for 22 years. My last assignment was actually working in NATO over in Italy, in Naples, Italy, at Joint Force Command Naples. And then had a blast over there. Loved it. And I was contemplating on not retiring and extending for another few years, but the whole COVID thing and the woke army was starting to seep in. I was like, oh, it's time to go. So I actually stage left right on time there. And I currently also am a host with the Exceptional Conservative Network, TECNTV.com. I've been doing that for 5 years now with that network. Prior to that, I was on Blog Talk Radio with Black Conservative Radio. Did that for, I want to say it was two years was doing that. And we was broadcasting that actually out of Alaska when we was living there. So being in the military, you know, I kind of had my hand in multiple things, you know, bouncing around and, you know, just being involved in the communities and being involved in whatever I can be in during wherever location I may be at. Now, here I am running for Congress for the great state of Alaska. And it's been a ride so far. I'm having fun. You know, it's kind of a lull right now because I'm actually back down here in Texas just for the holidays and helping my wife because she's going through some medical issues right now. So hopefully we get back up there to the great state in January and finish up the campaign because we have our primaries in August. And then we move into our general election in November. Yeah, and so this year is going to be it's a pretty interesting year because Alaska, this is the first time that Alaska will be seeing ranked choice voting, or better known as jungle primary. So they're still trying to figure things out with that. And it's going to be a interesting field right now of candidates running.
Yeah, you brought up some stuff that I can jump questions on, you know, right away.
Mm-hmm.
So Alaska, your career in the Army ended in Alaska, correct?
No, it ended in Italy. And they, so it was kind of weird. Technically, it ended in Italy, but they couldn't outprocess me fully in Italy because of COVID and everything was shut down and what have you. So they shipped myself and my family back to Texas. That's kind of like where I generated my career out of. And
gotcha.
It's a much larger military installation and everything. So they sent us back here so we could finish our processing, going through the, you know, VA and turning in all your gear and all that good stuff. And so just ended up here. And they couldn't send me back to – they couldn't even send me up to Alaska either because I was stationed on a naval base and I'm being Army. You know, it was just a logistical nightmare for them. So they just like, yeah, no, we just
need
to Texas. So, figure it out from there. And I was like, oh, okay, all right. As long as I get out of Italy, I really don't care where you send me.
Everybody loves Italy. I only went through there one time. I never actually – only there for 2 hours on our way somewhere else. You're to Bernie. This is a big deal. You're see Bernie that we used to call it in the Air Force.
We've been talking about
that was your – that was your career field. That, you know what that means? That means you are an expert at, you know – infectious propagation. You know what it takes to not get this COVID, or what you have to wear to put it together, because that's a pretty big thing. And this is why I, as my limited time with chemical warfare training, I know, in my opinion, the masks are going to help us because you have everything else uncovered and you're touching everything. So, and I know that was your forte.
Mm-hmm.
And hands off, you know, gloves off to you and everything, because that's a pretty deep job. I know the Army does a lot more thorough than the Air Force does. So
yeah.
What have you learned from that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did some training with the Air Force. Air Force used to come over to Fort Leonard when I was an instructor back in the early 2000s. The Air Force used to come out and train with us to get a better understanding and in-depth training. Because I used to teach my focus area in the seaborne world was biological detection and treatment.
Yeah.
So this whole COVID stuff is right up my alley. Used to teach officers. I used to teach a BOLA, a basic officer course, at Fort Leonard there, and this is what we used to discuss all the time with different viruses, how to make viruses, biological agents, and everything else. So everything that's going on right now is just all too familiar to me. I'm just like, I wonder what's going on at Fort Detrick right now, where anthrax
right.
are created out of. So,
your career field. Yes. My thing, I'm sorry for interrupting you there, but people don't realize the people in the military, the people who fight on the ground and who actually go to combat, they know about all this biological warfare stuff and how to protect themselves. And I think it's a shame that we don't see this on TV. They don't tell you what to do and what you really need. They just make you feel better. So, and I understand you know a lot more than I do. So I don't know what your feelings are on the mask and that safety level that we are all forced to use, or they're trying to force us to use. What's your opinion on that?
It's garbage and it doesn't work. In short, it does not work. You know, you're walking around. Let's put it into a basic level of understanding perspective here. You walk around, you're touching on different things, right? Whether you're in a grocery store or a restaurant, what have you, your car, you know, wherever. You're touching on different things, and then you go to grab your mask, you put it on, and you're wearing this mask for upteen hours, and then you take it off, and if you have one of those reusable masks like I carry around, you know, I just throw it in my back pocket, so you got butt sweat seeping through, and you throw it right back onto your face, you know, all you're doing is promulgating more viruses and making yourself even sicker. You know, in the long run, this is why you see uptick in respiratory infections. It's not because of COVID. It's because, you know, people are running around, you know, wearing contaminated masks all the time. And no matter, even if you switch them out and you get the regular surgical mask, it's still not doing anything because you have open pores open areas on your mask, you're still going to – the surgical masks are good for splash protection. They're not stopping, you know, particles. And so that's the thing that people are not really understanding, or the medical professionals are not really telling people. They're just doing this just for the sake of having a control mechanism over people.
Right. I get that. Most people don't, and they don't understand. I mean, they swear that the mask helps them out. And like I say, you're touching all these buttons and these pads, and then you're opening the same doors and you're picking up the same items. So you're actually – this is fail an inspection, a security or chemical worker inspection. That would be the end. You would be finished because they can consider you contaminated. But like you said, you're actually – I get this from what you're saying. You're actually picking up things. The way that we're doing the mask thing, mm-hmm. we're actually bringing things to us, more things than we're not keeping anything out.
Correct.
So that's
absolutely. Because you're especially when you're touching surfaces that, because we already know that most viral agents they can reside on a surface up to 72 hours. So no matter, you know, it could be COVID, it could be a common flu, it could be the common cold, it could be rubella. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. You're touching that surface and you're putting it up to your mask, and so now those particulates from that virus is trapped into the mask itself, into the fibers of the mask. And so you're just sitting around just breathing this stuff in, anyways. So we're actually defeating the purpose. I can see if we're walking into an area and there, and every aisle you walk down, there's somebody sanitizing every single thing. You may get away with, not picking up anything. But once again, the feasibility of that is slim to stupid, as I like to say.
Yes, right. Well, thanks for that little parlay. I'd like to get into, I want to get into your campaign. So first of all, I want to say, how has your military career helped your ability to manage your campaign or your organize and things like that? So do you credit your service for what you're doing now?
I do. And that's a great question. Yes, I have implemented a lot of the time management, the administrative skills that I picked up in the military into, this campaign. I'm actually running my campaign pretty much like like a military operation in a sense. There's some backwards planning. Yeah, there's backwards planning going on. There's forecasting, and there's all kinds of things that doing behind the scenes, because it's kind of like almost a one man operation. I do have a little team of folks to help out here and there, but they all have lives and have jobs. I told everyone, I said, don't quit your day job, because I can't pay you right now. I can't pay you what you make. So we do what we can, how we can, and we make it happen from there, and we still have a whole year almost before the rubber meets the road, and we'll see what happens from there.
Right.
But yes, the military definitely, the training and the discipline in the military definitely played a factor into how this campaign is being ran right now. Most definitely.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Because I think we were talking about earlier offline how much responsibility you used to have. And I like that, because I like people going to Congress or the Senate that actually have, had those responsible jobs and understand, the consequences of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not there on vacation. They're not there to make money. They're to make changes and to bring this country back. So as a conservative, what will be your plans? What would you like to see happen in the United States Congress?
Well, there's a lot. You're absolutely right. There, having a military background or a background that bears a lot of responsibility with people's lives, particularly, is probably the best conduit to transition from, to go into Congress with, because you have that understanding. And so for me, going into Congress, some of the things I'm looking to change at the federal level is the way business is done. We're too tied up into partisan politics, and we're trying to push agendas that is not in the purview of the people. I want to restore the work back to the people of the United States, getting back on the ground and listening to the folks and understanding what the issues are, bringing that to Congress, writing bills to affect those changes, not these big spending packages and things that have nothing to do with America, you know, at all. You know, the Congress currently is spending too much time on things that have nothing to do with the American people. And that's where, you know, a lot of things go awry with that. So, you know, there's that. And then, you know, specifically for Alaska, what I'm looking to do, because I don't plan on spending years on end in Congress. I do believe in term limits, and I will impose term limits on myself to be that, you know, that beacon or that leadership, that change agent. I'm considering myself a change agent candidate. So, you know, I'm imposing term limits on myself. You know, I sign a term limits pledge saying I won't do no more than 3 terms in Congress. But in that interim, I plan to make some bring some big changes that Alaska has been dying for the last 50 years that has been neglected. And so those are some of the things that I'm looking to do.
So that's unlike some people that are already there in Congress from Alaska. They don't have that same philosophy you have.
So, yes, they do not. Yeah, because currently because Alaska only has one U.S. representative, and he's been in office since 1973. He's now 88 years old. You know, he came into office 7 years before I was born. And I'm already in my 40s, and I already retired from federal service once. So, you know, he's been there a long time. So no disrespect to his service or anything, but for many Alaskans, they feel like it is time for him to retire and step aside for, you know, new blood and new generation of folks to come in and steer the Alaska delegation into the right direction. So that's what I'm looking to do. You know, we, like I said, at the top of the show here, we have a gamut of folks running for Congress. One of the other persons that's running is one of his proteges. And so a lot of Alaskans are kind of skeptical about him right now, because he used to work with him, his office and his campaign the previous years. And so they're kind of like grooming him, trying to pass the torch off. You know, it's kind of like that political dynasty business. So that's what's going on right now with that. But like I said, I'm coming in to make changes and then step it aside and hand over the reins to whoever Alaska chooses to take over from there next.
So yeah, the other candidate is already baked into the system before he even gets there. Those are the kind of things that we need to stop. And I agree with you. I mean, if you feel like 2 terms is good enough, 3 terms even, I think the goal, when it comes down to it, I mean, it'd be okay for you to stay as long as you're doing the right thing, as long as, you know, you're there for the purpose you got there and your mission. And I understand, I know your Army, you know all about the mission. The mission never changes. And it is the Constitution.
Yes.
That's what this show is about, the American allegiance to the Constitution. That's one thing you got going for you. And all these people, they're going to get their secret clearances or top secret automatically. And I know what you had to go through, and I had to go through to get ours. And
man. You're bringing back those fond memories there. that FF86, it takes hours and days and days and hours and weeks to just. Oh, my God. I think members of Congress should go through that as well. And it will weed out, you know, people like Eric Swalwell out of California there. It will weed out that Dianne Feinstein. It will weed out Nancy Pelosi, Maxine Waters.
Yeah.
It will weed out a lot of people. They will be ineligible to get a clearance because of their ties, dealings, and past associations. And you will have a more solidified and formidable committees, you know, that are in place, because they understand and they know, like, hey, I can't, you know, be involved in these things or you know, have these dealings because I have a clearance. And with Congress right now, it's really, like you said, it's willy-nilly anybody get one just because you got elected. and that's crazy.
Yeah, I think that should be, in my opinion, I think you should have that, put that bill out there. If you get in Congress, that's what you got to do. I mean, because that's going to make it fair for everybody. Because I retired a federal employee, and How can anybody be in their 80s and still be working? The same thing with Fauci. How can Feinstein and then Pelosi still be there and all these other guys as federal employees? They're like a different level, exempted from everything, federal employee. No rules apply to them. The same things we had to live with, like with no heat,
mm-hmm.
no parks, taking our pay away. That doesn't happen to them. They don't care. I mean,
yeah.
they got so many insights. They got so many things going for them. But the cutoff age, I think once you're done with so many years, I think 25 is the minimum, 30, 35 years, 40, 45 at the most, that should mean something.
Mm-hmm.
They should
I agree,
be subject to the same rules as the regular people, and they should not be able to exempt themselves from what they think other people should have.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that 100%. You know, like with these vaccine mandates, Congress exempted themselves from the mandates.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what is it that you know that we don't know that you're exempting yourself? That's number one. And then we look at the just in the recent in the news with the Stock Act, you know, Nancy Pelosi is saying that, you know, members of Congress should be
yeah.
able to trade stocks based on, you know, the information, the insider information that they get that the regular American
yeah.
person doesn't get. You know, it's crazy that they're so bold and so
yeah.
bold and brazen about the things that they know is morally not correct against the American people. And for people like myself that's coming in, and I encourage every other candidate, you know, we come in, you know, with a wrecking ball and a wrecking crew to change these things, you know, and whether or not, you know, it's a benefit or a right, so to speak, as a member of Congress, we have to think about what's in it for the American people at the end of the day. And that's one of my political philosophies for Alaska is, you know, when I'm elected, any bill, anything that I'm dealing with, you know, in Congress is going to, my first question in my mouth is going to be, what's in it for Alaska? Is this legislation
right.
going to hurt Alaska? Hell no, I'm not supporting it. Is it going to benefit
right.
Alaska? To what degree and to what extent? And, you know, you may have my support. And that's how Congress should operate. It should be what's in it for America. And, you know,
that's
all
right.
these other things that's going on, it's crazy. It's ludicrous.
I totally agree. And one of the bad things about Congress, I always contrast Congress and the Senate to a reality of regular Americans. And one of the problems they have is when you get there, you're a junior congressman. There should be no
mm-hmm.
college ranking when you get there. It's you're doing a job. This thing has turned so out of control, and they have nobody keeping them accountable. You can say, like, it's the voters, but, you know, they can get around that with machines and their name and everything. Something has to be done. We have to watch them somehow. The American public should be watching these people and holding them accountable. But it's not working out that way because they're there too long. They're making too much money. It's more important than us, and they're sold out. Not everybody. There's a lot of them in there. People that are in their 80s don't need to be there. People have been there for 50
yeah.
years. People bragging about it. Oh, I was there when that happened. That's a sad thing because this is your career
yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, Kevin. You know, the standard, there's a rank structure. There's a need for a rank structure in Congress. I get it. But as you said, you know, when the Congress convenes, like this 118th Congress next year, everyone should be, you know, fresh bodies, or even the ones that's returning to Congress. Everyone's on equal footing, and you elect within your groups who's going to be leadership and who's going to be whatnot and what have you, despite the years that you have there. You could
right.
play an advisory role position if you've been there 25 years. You can say, you know what, thank you for being here so long. You could train up these other guys on what to do, but you would not have a part. You would not have a leadership role. And that's how it should be, you know, unless the body elects that person to be in that leadership role. But it should not be something that's automatic because you've been there, you know, with tenure and what have you. We see
right.
the GOP did something brilliant back in, I want to say it was 2014, it might be a little earlier, but they implemented where you could turn. term out on serving on committees. And so because because of the different, you know, nefarious activities that was taking place among members, you know, you get cozied onto a committee you've been serving on for 10, 15 years, you know, there's a lot of money to be made. So after a certain period of time, you can't serve on that committee anymore. That's the way it should be across the board in Congress. After you've been there so many years, okay, it's nice that you're being reelected, but you're no longer going to be serving on these committees. You know, you're going to be just a rank and file member, and or you can be moved into an advisory role. You know, that was what happened. That's what happened with Don Young, with Congressman Young. He's termed out of committee, so he's not even serving. He's not even a benefit to Alaska anymore in that regard. You know, right. He can't even serve on committees anymore because he's been in Congress since the signing of the Declaration almost. Yeah, a long time. You know, he was there when the ink was still wet. You know, so it's time for people to swap out and go back home, just as some of the forefathers envisioned. You know, you come to Congress, you serve for a few years, and you go back home, and you know, be amongst the people and live under the laws in which you implemented, and you see how it is. As long as you're within that DC beltway and that bubble. You don't know. You kind of lose touch. You lose, you know, you lose that understanding. They don't understand because they're riding, they're being chauffeured around. They don't understand the gas prices right now. They don't understand what it costs to buy a gallon of milk. They don't understand that, you know, it's going to take you 3 weeks to order from Amazon to ship up to Alaska because you implemented or reauthorized the Mandelson-Stevens Act or the Jones Act and what have you. You don't feel those things, those effects, because you're right there in the beltway and you have some flunky to go bring you stuff, you know, while you're sitting on your desk. You know, so that's the problem that we're seeing in Congress, and that's some of the things that I'm also looking to change.
Sounds pretty awesome. You know what it's like you're just describing. You know how people get things done or how they can't get things done and the shortages that we experience. They never see that. Like you said, there are people who haven't driven a car in years on Congress. You know, what's wrong? What's wrong with this picture here? They have their own world that they live in, and they conform, make everybody conform to it that they can. And it's more important. Okay, my point is, their allegiance is not to the United States. It's to themselves. It's to enriching themselves and putting themselves higher and higher and with more power and more importance. This is the problem we have. And there's got to be a way to do it. And like I said, my proposal about the SF-86 would fix all these problems to a degree. We won't have any Chinese, you know, infiltrators in there. We wouldn't have people doing dirty insider trading. Because all this stuff would come out. I would love to see that happen.
I would too. You know, and that is a great idea, and that is something definitely I will get behind, if not put up myself. Because you know, I said the other night on another program I was on. You know, I got in the mail a ethics committee packet that I had to fill out when I first started up my candidacy. And it required me to supply into this little database all of my investments, things that I own, and my network, so to speak. Yeah, you know, I'm like, you know, this is interesting. You want to know my financial dealings and business? I'm not even a member of Congress yet. This came from the House Ethics Committee. But you know, here it is. I flipped the, you know, the next tab of my internet browser, and here's the news of, you know, Kelly Loeffler and Dianne Feinstein under investigation for insider trading. So it's like, come on, guys. If they were actually accurately reporting the things that they were doing, you as a committee would have seen this and caught this, and this would not have been news. You would have handled this in house. You know, so it's crazy stuff like that, you know, that we need to get rid of. And I get it. You know, people want to know, you know, what your financial dealings are before you come into Congress to see, you know, how you're, you know, you may or may not be influenced. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, because if you are part of an elected body, that elected body has a constitutional responsibility of accountability to each other. and the American people have a responsibility to hold their elected officials accountable. So regardless of what's in your bank account, there is a higher obligation on behalf of every player involved to make sure that everyone abides by the rules and play in this game equally and fairly. And that's what we're failing to see and execute.
And I like, here's what I like about one of the congresswomen that's in there, like Marjorie Taylor Greene. She actually went to the 1-6 prison to see what's going on. So there's a lot of things behind that. And on my show, I've had an attorney that actually represented one of the prisoners there. And there's a lot of things going on that are, things are going to come out. But my question is, where are the prisoners' congressmen? Where are their senators? How come they haven't been to see them yet? And these are your people. And you know, don't leave anybody behind. That's the thing. And I have a friend whose wife is in there right now that I know who she is. He's a veteran from the Navy. He was actually in the movie Top Gun. He was one of the background people, believe it or not. He's very proud of that. But you know, his wife is in prison now. And but things are coming out real soon that you're going to see. The whole thing was all set up. So there's things that, but just like I heard other people say, where was their congressman? How come they weren't there to help out? And MJT, Marjorie Taylor Greene, showed up there with somebody else, and they went through it. But
I know exactly what you're talking
about. Citizens. Yeah, these are American citizens, and according to the law, they should not have been arrested. They should have been putting together a defense. You don't put people in jail. They should have been released already. This is just crazy. This is not America. This is like a communist camp or something they're running over there. But the point is,
it is. And you go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No. Go ahead and finish your point.
The point is, who's representing them? If it's not your congressmen who are in D.C., they're right there in the same town. Why aren't they over there? Why aren't they negotiating? Why aren't they doing anything? Those people have a lot of power. They can make things happen. Why isn't this happening? And so hats off to the people who have done this and who have reported this and things that are going on. Because it's not the fact that there was a rally. I don't really care what side they're on. It doesn't matter. What matters is they're American citizens being treated unfairly. They can't even cut their hair. Their hair grows like crazy. They can burn it off. That's what they allow them to do. And then they do all kinds of weird things to the people because they're 1-6 prisoners. Never had a trial, never been convicted. This goes against all the rules and laws. But like I said, where is the representation?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, with these, the 1-6 prisoners, you know what they are right now? Hostages.
Yes, they are.
They have been stripped. They have been stripped of their American citizenship.
Yeah.
They've been stripped of their constitutional rights. And you can look at the first 10 amendments minus the second. It's all been, you know, taken away from them. And, you know, you're right. Where are all the members of Congress? I'm going to tell you where the members of Congress at outside Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, Lauren Boebert, that went to go, you know, try to visit these folks. They're standing by quietly because they know that that's going to interrupt their pocketbook. That's going to interrupt their election chances. That's
you're right. I think you're right.
They're sitting back. They're sitting back scared that if I get involved in this, if I go to actually do my job and represent, if I actually go do my job and go see about these people and make sure that these Americans are fairly and properly on American soil, I can see if they was over in Afghanistan. I can see if they was over in North Korea. Okay, your hands are tied, but you're right down the street from these people, these fellow Americans, and you refuse to intervene and do anything because you're so concerned about your reelection bid, and you're concerned about your pocketbook. That's what the problem is. And they know.
Right, and from your Army training and your military career, your mission. Mission number one. I didn't worry about my next rank when I had to make tough decisions. I didn't worry about promotions or anything else. I got stuff done because I was it. I was the last guy to be able to do this or that. And it was up to me to make those decisions. And you don't leave people behind. We're all Americans. There's no difference between anybody in Congress or on off the street or whatever. But these are things that should never happen. And that means their allegiance is not to the Constitution. That's just my opinion. And I say this a lot. I said this at a speech in Naples. If you're saying these things, then you are an enemy of the United States Constitution. And that's how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are not defending the Constitution. Like you and I, we lived the Constitution. We defended it every day. And we were allegiant to it 24/7. This is not the same kind of people in Congress or the Senate. They're out for themselves. I don't care if I get elected again. I want to do the right thing. And that's what I like about you and your stance on your things. So
yes,
go ahead.
Absolutely. And, I say it all the time. I tell people all the time, when I'm debating with folks on Facebook or on other social media platforms, I swore an oath to defend and support the Constitution of the United States, not your feelings. And that's where I'm at with everything in life, everything that I dealt with. I put God first, country, and my family. Because my family's gonna have my back. When the bullets get chambered, they're gonna have my back. So I'm not worried about them too much.
Right.
At the end of the day. At the end of the day, I'm going to defend what, I need to defend, and that is my country, and, that's what it is. And so anybody within or without, if you're not for America, you're not for defending this nation, you're not for defending this Constitution, you are therefore an enemy, period, the end. And that's what we see within a lot of members of Congress is, Not even just Congress, members of the government, period. Anybody who is willfully violating our constitutional rights is therefore an enemy of the of America.
I agree.
Point blank. There's no sugarcoating that. There's no
right.
Pardon my Latin. There's no pussyfooting around it.
Right. Yeah, that's when, I used to say, I still say this, if you say this is a democracy, then you are an enemy of the Republic, because we have no democracy.
Yeah.
I call people out on that because it makes no sense because, people know better than that. They're just pushing something that's not there. It's just like the mandates. There's no clause for safety, public safety. It doesn't exist.
No.
All these things are going to get turned over, and everybody's going to be sued. These pharmaceutical companies are going to go down. There's no safety left. Mm-hmm. There's no valve for them. They are subject to the Nuremberg Code. It has nothing to do with anything else. They're going to go down, and that's what I've heard already. And it's not constitutional. Things are not constitutional. There's no way around it. I don't care. You can't exempt yourself for something that you're not subject to. So things like this. It's kind of funny. It kind of makes me laugh because it's like, really? They think they can do this? They don't, obviously don't understand or they ignore, the Constitution of the United States of America, which is very important to me and to you and to most people in this country. Second Amendment, First Amendment, everything. Facebook, take it away. I have so many things that have been censored. I'm sure you have too on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
And things that have been disabled. Yeah, it's like,
mm-hmm.
What happened to, just free speech? What happened? I mean, they just don't care. They're going right ahead and doing it. And there are big consequences for that. And I hope they show up. I hope they come to roost. I hope the chickens come to roost.
Yes. Section 230. That is one of my other marquee legislation that I'm going to be pushing to repeal as well. These social media companies that's been out and about censoring folks and everything else, shielding behind that. They're gonna feel the wrath of that because like you said, I've been censored on social media a lot. you know, I still get on there and I still say my stuff, and I kind of back down a little bit because I'm like, okay, I need to have this platform to get my message out, so I'm not going to get too wrong today. But, yeah, you know, right. I toe that line, so I create other pages and so I can be able to, you know, get it shut down if I need to. So I hop back and forth, and I get it. But that you're right. The American people have been sleeping for too long. We have gotten comfortable with the way things have just transpired, not just in the last 2-3 years, but just in the last few decades. We saw back in the 1940s and 50s, there was training lessons. You learned in school how to put on a gas mask. You learned how to, you know, protect yourself, you know, with firearms and building bunkers and stuff like that. You learned the Constitution. You learned how to, you know, to survive going through school back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, even, you know, partway into the 70s. And then somebody in the government said, wait a minute, what are we doing here? We're training people. We're teaching and training people how to prepare to rebel against us when we're trying to, you know, run their lives. And now we're at this cusp of society where we see the rise of Marxism all over again, and people are just still sitting back just like, oh, that's not going to happen. It didn't happen. And they're like, well, you know, it's just going to be, you know, for the time being. And that time being turns into years. And this is where we're at right now. And people are trying to figure out, how do we get our country back? Well, it's very simple. That's why the Declaration of Independence was written. Thomas Jefferson put those prolific words to paper. It was an instruction manual on what to do and how to take your country back in the event that somebody stupid comes along to try to take it away from you.
Right.
These are things that the American people need to go back to. They need to go back. I hate saying this phrase, go back to the basics. I heard it so much in the military.
Right.
I got sick and tired of hearing it. But the American people need to go back to the basics. Go back to the founding documents. It's our instruction manual. It is the next codified thing to the Bible as to how to live your life. And this is what people fail to understand. We see other countries they don't even have a constitution like ours.
Right.
And they're mimicking their rights as if they are Americans. They're fighting against these mandates. They're rising up, and they're not even armed. That's the beauty of it. Ronald Reagan said back in the 80s, we are that shining beacon city on the hill. And people around the world see America like that. And they're saying, well, America is asleep right now, so we need to turn our lights on, and we need to become that shining city on the hill right now. So you see it in Australia, you see it in Germany, you see it in Italy, you see it in the Netherlands, you see it in the UK right now. The UK is starting to uprise.
Yes.
They're fighting. They're pushing back now. But America is still sleeping. And, you know, to your point earlier about, you know, when people say, you know, our democracy, I do. That is a pet peeve of mine. I don't have many pet peeves. I am a pretty easygoing guy. One of my biggest pet peeve is when I hear somebody say, you know, well, this is a infringement on our democracy in jeopardy. And I'm like, that's interesting because we're not a democracy. We're a republic. And for anybody who has taken a basic civics course will understand that, you know, the difference between a democracy and a republic. And for those that like to run around and say that they're a democracy, I automatically categorize them as Democrats because they're scared to say republic because it might associate them as being a Republican. It's either
right.
that or they're just ignorant, or they're just ignorant to our governmental structure. It's one of the two.
I said the same thing. You're ignorant or you're an enemy. But just like, I think maybe that's why they took it out of the Constitution or the Pledge of Allegiance out of schools. That may be the reason why some schools are like that. Because people believe it's a democracy here, and they don't understand at all because that's all they hear. Democracy, 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 all day long, all night. Watch TV, watch the news, watch protesters, and that's what they talk about is our democracy. Well, if we had a democracy, we'd have been done years ago. And like your point of saying about these other countries, and a lot of people have not been to these crazy countries like we have. You have no idea how lucky we are in this country, how the rules and laws apply. I mean, they can mess with the American soldiers over there in other countries because the power tilt that they have, even though we're military, there's things they can do, or I've seen it happen when I was in Turkey. They arrested the first three black men from the base because somebody claimed a black man robbed a gas station. So they took the first three black men off the roster, put them in jail for months. And this is normal over there. You know, this is normal. They took attorneys a long time to get those guys out because that's just their laws. You're in another country, you're subject to their laws. And people come to our country.
Their laws, yep.
And we have laws until the borders open. That's the other thing that's going on. And I won't get into that too much, but we do not have a country if we have open borders. And I've worked.
You're right.
We used to fly down there in the south part of America, and we'd be right next to the Border Patrol helicopters, and we'd talk to those guys. Those guys, that's a job I'd never want to have, right? Those guys are brave people, but they're putting handcuffs on them, and they're tying, you know, things that they can do. That's their job. But, Randy, I got a question for you. Would you like to take a call? We have a caller ask you a question.
Oh, sure.
If you don't mind.
Not at all.
Okay, caller, tell us where you're from and what your name is.
How you doing? Rick from New Jersey.
Hello, Rick. How you doing?
Hi, Rick.
I'm doing wonderful. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well. Good. Doing well. Thanks.
Nice to talk to two brave men. Not a lot of them left, so we appreciate, you know, what we can get from you guys.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
My main issue right now is not with the bravery that that I love that you guys have and that. Luckily, we have the armed forces to all be able to talk to each other, thanks to them. It's the people who are so brave that they're willing to spit in the face of the United States of America with the challenges that our military is facing right now with politicians shutting down money, basically putting a muzzle on the United States military, and I'm wondering what you think about that.
You know, it is a shame, and I know exactly what you're talking about with Secretary Austin threatening to withhold the pay of the National Guard if they don't conform to the mandates. That's one. The other issue that's going on behind the scenes, talking to some of my buddies, is that they're not even allowed to discuss on social media the issues that they're facing with not only with the mandates, but just these other little woke training and stuff like that. You notice that gone quiet. That went quiet for a reason because they were ordered to stop talking about it publicly. And so, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and so did also a friend of mine from that just came back from Afghanistan. The gag order that he was told he will never get his pension if he talks about what happened at the airport.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Exactly. Yes. So there's a lot of that going on. And you know what? With the military, and I used to fight this all the time myself, you know, over the 22 years that I've been in. It almost became a daily battle that I'm like, you know, just because you served in the military, you did not waive your constitutional rights to anything. Yes, you follow orders, but as long as those orders are lawful and if those orders are against the Constitution, against any standing congressionally passed law, then it is not a lawful order. And they looked at me sideways, and these military officers and these the other senior NCOs, they did not know how to handle that. And I'm like, you could try me if you want to. And
You were given an order by the United States of America, and that's who you're loyal to, not your officers.
Exactly. You know, and you know, part of our oath, you know, we say that we'll, you know, obey the orders of the officers and the president appointed, you know, officers, the officers appointed over us and the president of the United States. And I also always caveat with, as long as they're lawful and as long as they're constitutional.
Absolutely.
So if you tell me to shut up, you tell me to shut up and not talk about something, guess what? You're violating my First Amendment right there, buddy. And I'm not going to shut up. I'm going to talk about it. And they just look at me and they're like, well, you're gonna get a counseling and you're gonna get an Article 15. Bring it. I'm an alpha court martial, and we'll see who win that one. And they shut up and they leave it alone. I used to do it almost every day.
Unfortunately, it doesn't happen a lot with a lot of military right now.
No, it doesn't.
They're pretty much following. They're pretty much following the blind. Which sucks. And it's even with the same thing with police department. I don't want to change the subject over to police department, but it's the same thing. I understand you're doing your job, but when you're enforcing unconstitutional laws, they're mandates. They're not laws. And I'm not just talking about masks. I'm talking about anything going back 60 years. You can't beat 2A. You can't beat Article 2A with just saying, we're going to have the Graves Act in New Jersey that if you get caught with a weapon without registration, without the proper tiny little piece of paper signed by the correct bureaucrat, then all of a sudden you get 3 years in prison for being a proper American.
Crazy.
You didn't use it in the commission. As long as if you use it in the commission of a crime, absolutely. Throw the book at them. Bury them under the jail.
Yeah.
Knock the jail down and then build a tower on top of it and then turn that into a jail and knock it down too. I don't care.
Yes, absolutely.
But it seems like every single freedom that we were supposed to have from the beginning has been not only disrespected, but am I allowed to swear on this?
Not tonight. I'll be able to put it in here. Yeah.
It has been pooped upon.
Yeah,
right.
I got you.
That's my good way of putting it. It's just a horrible way that as long as they can pick away from your freedoms. Now, the one thing that our good friend from Alaska will agree with, every single thing the government's gotten from you, once everybody found out it was wrong, they've never once given it back.
That's true.
So now we're giving them
true.
Everything now in hope that one day the virus will be gone and we'll get it all back.
That's
we
a great point. That's
that.
Excellent. Excellent point there. And I think you just nailed it right there for what's going to happen in the future. It just allows more things to happen.
We're still waiting for the Patriot Act to be undone. We were told the second we got our hands on Osama bin Laden, the Patriot Act would be nullified. Why is it still enacted?
Yeah. You know, there's portions of it. Portions of the Patriot Act has expired, but there are some key provisions within that Patriot Act. You are correct. A lot of people don't know this, that are still enacted, and that the FBI is utilizing that to continue to monitor and to censor even, you know, the American people.
Nobody here works for the United States government, correct?
I don't.
I declined to answer that question.
Well, I have no problem saying it because I've been picked up before, but I've had my cell phone location used against me in regards to January 6th.
Really?
Yeah, I was nowhere near the Capitol. I was 2.5 miles away at my hotel. I got picked up and held for 11 days.
Wow.
I was nowhere near there. Their whole thing was, who was I with?
And that's not even, I would be like, fifth. Have a good day. And,
no,
you know, that's the thing.
I was put in custody. There's nothing I could do.
Wow, that is crazy.
Lawless custody.
You're not the first person I heard say that either. Because I had a couple of friends that were near there. Because I got a lot of friends in D.C. and just so happened that they were at work near the Capitol. You know, I got, you know, like I said, a lot of friends, you know, in the D.C. circuit there. So there's friends of mine that would just happen to be working near the Capitol or, you know, around in that vicinity. And they, too, were questioned or detained briefly after they was vouched for that they were actually at work and not, you know, partaking in the festivities there. And so you're not the first person I heard say that happened to. You know, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, that's why I have no problem using my real name and have no problem doing the whole thing because I was there. They picked me up. They lied right to my face and told me, "We saw you there." I go, "All right, show me."
Yeah.
Show me that you saw me. And they gave me a whole big story about how they had me at one bit of steps, and I said, "Okay, perfect." Well, now I contacted the hotel, and I have myself on hotel security camera in the lobby the whole entire time watching this thing on a big screen.
Awesome.
Crazy.
So how'd you get
it?
And then you know what the federal government told me? All right.
What's that?
We'll leave you alone if you shut up about it.
Wow.
Now it seems like I'm breaking that I'm breaking that trust that we had.
Yeah,
I think so. But you know, you would be a great guest on this program, as a matter of fact, because we talk about this other times. So,
yeah.
But, you know,
screw those guys. They're gonna come back after me again. I know they will. I
have a cup of coffee
anything.
And donuts ready for them.
Yeah,
that?
That's what you got to do.
Have a cup of coffee. Have a pot of coffee and some donuts ready for them. Say, come on in, have a seat.
Right.
Oh, no.
Take a load off.
No,
let's check.
Yeah. Now, if you ever seen these guys go through basement windows, they don't want coffee and donuts. These guys are a mess.
Right. They are.
They're,
they showed
they're,
up
armored
vehicles
from
one of my
savages.
Friends. Yes, they are. They don't play. They'll have a gun to your wife and you and whoever else is there, and that's what they've been doing at your house.
Actually, how about
you know,
two houses on each side and all seven houses on the other side all had guns pointed on them.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the couple in Homer, Alaska, they went through that very same, you know, scary scenario. Where, you know, they had guns drawn on them and everything, and all because it was assumed that they had Nancy Pelosi's laptop. I don't know if y'all remember that story back around February when that broke. You know, that happened up in Alaska. They flew all the way from Washington, D.C. to Alaska to kick in somebody's door over a laptop, pointing a gun in their face and detaining them, you know, and come to find out that couple wasn't even, you know, wasn't even there.
First of all, I'd be surprised if Nancy Pelosi can use a laptop. She could barely use a microphone.
Yeah, exactly.
She's three-quarter idiot, by the way. I looked up her heritage.
Yeah. Mm. Well, hey, thanks for the call, Rick. We appreciate it. And thank you so much.
I appreciate you guys. God bless you guys, and maybe one day I'll call and we'll talk about libertarianism and how it's going to save this country.
That sounds good to me. Thank you very much.
You got it.
Take it easy.
Hey, Randy.
Yes.
That was pretty deep. That was really deep there, and didn't expect that to happen. It's probably our second call from New Jersey in my career. So, you know, as a former podcaster at Blog Talk, I love when we have callers. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And you have
yeah.
people that are listening from all over the world, and it's fantastic. But let's get back to your campaign and the things that you're planning and everything. And I'm not familiar with Alaska. I would love to go visit. I've heard nothing but great things about it and how beautiful it is. And oil is that a big thing up there? You guys still have big pipelines and everything?
Yes. Yeah, we still got the Alaska pipeline. Well, oil production right now, of course, you know, is kind of like at a standstill right now. But it's still going a little bit because it's running to Canada as well. So we have the oil, we have the fishing industry, and we got a lot of great things, you know, in Alaska that supplies and energizes the lower 48. You know, the remaining and other countries as well. And so some of the things that that's a big hindrance. A lot of people don't know this. Some of the things that are a big hindrance for Alaskans right now is this one piece of legislation that I'm there's three of them, but one dealing with infrastructure is a hindrance to for Alaskans. It's called the ADILCA. It's Alaska Native Lands Interest Conservation Act. And what that particular bill does, it blocks off almost 90% of Alaska land from being touched. It is like permanent federal land, and so that creates a problem for. This is why we're called the last. That's one of the reasons why we're called the last frontier, because you can't really develop the land in Alaska. You know, bringing in highways, airports, trains, railway systems and whatnot. We're still running on a ferry system, boating systems, and charter planes because of this. And so, one of the things that I'm looking to do, and I've been in talks with a lot of Alaskans around Alaska, is having portions of the ANILCA Act repealed to where we can open up some of the key parts of the land there, to bring in meaningful infrastructure. And that's something that's been, ignored for decades as well. Another piece that I'm looking to have, another piece of legislation that I'm working to, I will be working to have repealed is called the Jones Act. And the Jones Act is what hinders Alaskans in terms of shipping. So it also hurts states in the lower 48, the coastal states. It hurts them as well. So I'm in talks with other candidates from the coastal states that are running. We're going to band together. If we're all elected, we're gonna create legislation to repeal portions of the Jones Act as well. And with the Jones Act, say, for example, you have a vessel that's shipping from California to Alaska carrying goods or what have you. That boat has to be at least 75% American-made. 75% manned, yes, and U.S. flagged. And here's the problem with that. There's only five U.S.-based boat companies, and all of those companies receive their parts from overseas, from China, North Korea, Taiwan, Japan.
Right.
Blueprints in a whole nine. So it automatically creates a hindrance to the U.S. companies from being able to ship, because they can't ship because their boats are not U.S. made. And so this has been a big problem. And so we're relying on, the trucking system. And we all know, going from the lower 48, going through Canada during the pandemic and everything else, going through Canada to get into Alaska, or going through the ferry system out of Washington State into Alaska, that takes a lot of money and a lot of time.
Right.
And so if we repeal those certain pieces of legislation, bringing in infrastructure, relaxing the restrictions that was written over 100 years ago, literally, the Jones Act was written in 1921 before Alaska was even a state.
Wow.
And so it's those little things. So my focus is on antiquated legislation, and because we're in the 21st century. We're in the 21st century, and we're still living under certain laws and rules that no longer can even fit in the paradigm in which we live. So those are some of the things that I'm going to be working on for Alaska.
So I like that, because you understand the uniqueness of your state and what's going on. And a lot of people, they just run for Congress. They don't care. They just want to get in. So I like that people are responsible. There's a philosophy behind that. you relax some of the rules, and people are responsible for what, you know, they know to be preserved. I mean, it's not like they're going to, you know, put a bunch of, you know, crazy things on there. They're just using that accessing that as a way to get things through. And I think it's a smart, very smart move that's 100 years old. Does it serve its purpose today? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe things have changed, like you said. It's 2021, almost 2022. We have to take these things into consideration. You see that vision. I like that.
Yeah, you know, and that's the problem. You know, like I said, you know, the bill was written in 1921 when the United States was the industrial complex for the world. You know, we did have, you know, the capabilities and the capacity of building, you know, large ships and everything else. We had almost the largest navy outside of Britain at the time. You know, so that has dramatically changed. Even our U.S. naval ships are built overseas. You know, for Congress, for members of Congress, this was another way at that time to line their pockets and be in bed with China, because they knew China was going to be the one that was going to be manufacturing these parts and everything, the engines, the hull, you name it, a paddle, everything is made in China.
Right,
and so
in order for
the, you know, those parts to come into the U.S., they have to be taxed, and there's tariffs and everything else that's associated with that, driving up the cost for the American people to even do business amongst themselves, not let alone with other countries. You know, the United States is they shoot themselves in the foot to appease other countries, and they also shoot themselves in the foot. Members of Congress have shot themselves in the foot to, you know, line their own pockets, because they know, you know, hey, the average American person doesn't know these things. They don't read. Nobody's sitting here reading, you know, this particular piece of legislation that's 327 pages long. Or the Build Back Better Act that was like, what, 2,000-some-odd pages. No one's sitting around reading these things. Even members of Congress are not sitting around reading it. What they're doing is they're dissecting that thing, passing around to their five staff members and say, hey, tell me the gist of this bill so I can vote on it. They're not reading these things. They're passing, and even Pelosi admitted to that years ago with the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
They're not sitting around reading these things. They just come up with stuff and they pass it, and then they catch the flat, you know, on the back end. Just like with this the National Defense Authorization Act that happened a few months ago. It had the red flag gun laws in there against the military, where military can just arbitrarily strip soldiers of their Second Amendment rights. And a whole bunch of congressmen were like, oh, I didn't know it was in there. You know, we're gonna revisit that. No, you already passed it. Get your ass.
Right, right.
It is on its way over to the Senate.
Yeah.
Too late. You know,
ready, finished. I mean, the thing is, anything that long is ridiculous. It's like a contract, and what you have to do, in my opinion, is you have to, I'm not going to say dumb it down, you have to make it readable and take the lawyer stuff out of it, and it should be, just like a regular contract for your car should be simple. You need to pay this money every month instead of all these percentages, and that's anything that long is so far out. We are so far removed from the ideas of the original country.
Mm-hmm.
Things like this, because they hide so many things in it, and you don't know what's in it. You know, just like reading your medicine, you know, whatever prescription you get.
Exactly.
The jargon on that is like, you don't know what's in it. I don't care if it's in your face. You don't know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what's going on in Congress or what could be.
Yeah, and the average American, I'm not going to say like me, but unless you're a student, you know, my background, I am two classes away from finishing my master's in political science, so I'm kind of required to read these things on top of
awesome.
Congress. So I need to stay and know what's going on. But, you know, it's if this is not your everyday, you know, kind of like if this is not your forte, the average American person just simply do not know, let alone your average congressman or congresswoman, they don't know. and they're sitting right there writing this stuff. They're not even, I can't say that they're writing it. Their staffers, the bureaucrats, the lobbyists are the ones that are writing these bills and putting it and sending it to their inbox, and they're printing it off and sending it out to the office there to slap a bill number on it, and it goes into the speaker's calendar for a vote. No one has read it through that entire process.
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy.
You can go to congress.gov and you can look at the summary of the bill, but that bill is not going to tell you, you know, the line item issues that are in there. And that's why I'm a proponent of having, you know, singular issue bills versus these omnibus packages and everything else that they be trying to pass. No, we're going to do a line item bill for every single thing. If you want to pass a infrastructure bill, okay, we're going to break this infrastructure bill that's 2,000 pages long. We're going to break it down to for Alaska, you know, $10 million for this highway. That's going to be one bill. It's not going to be part of the package. And then we're going to vote on that bill and move on to the next one. And that's how we're going to do this. That's what needs to happen. So that way we can get away from hidden pork in bills that don't need to be there, things that are not relevant to the bill in there. And then next thing you know, some little geek comes along and says, well, this was in House Bill 272. And I'm like, wait a minute, House Bill 272 was about the, you know, redesignating, you know, the porch to a national monument. You know, where did that come from? You know, it's stuff like that. You know, it's like, it's crazy. But this is what we, the American people, have allowed our elected officials to do. No one's sitting up there jumping up and down, throwing red flags about this stuff. Because everybody's living their
Obama
lives
said that.
Until their lives
Obama
are affected.
Said that. Right. Remember Obama said that? He's going to go line by line to get the pork out, and he never did. It's just like he's the king of the omnibus stuff and throwing everything together.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
He says one
yep.
thing, he does another, and you know how it goes.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And, you know, Speaker John Boehner, he tried, I give my hats off to him. He tried to fight that. He did a lot. He was able to eliminate the pork spending from Congress. They're trying to bring it back slowly. They slip it in there into bills here and there. But all in all, he did a great job with eliminating the pork spending.
Yeah, he's from Cincinnati. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I'm very fond of John Boehner. I like him. I like him. His book that he came out with a few months ago was a great, great read.
Okay. I have a friend of mine who ran against him. He didn't win, but so, you know, it's hard to get in, hard to do these things. That's why I think, you know, this is a big move, a big task, and I admire anybody trying to do this kind of thing, or anybody who gets in, especially the good people and the people who care and who are dedicated to the Constitution.
Yeah.
They think they should be there. And this is just like, in my opinion, I like to say this occasionally, anybody, like for the impeachment trial, anybody who voted to see if it was constitutional to go forward should have all been arrested. You don't play that game. You don't vote on something that the Supreme Court, and you remember the Supreme Court was not present in that trial. So they voted to see if it was constitutional. That is probably the biggest crime I've seen recently is that. Besides the mandate, you can't vote that. So you just broke every rule. That's not your job. You are not in that branch, right? That is not your – you don't have anything to say about that. So I'm like, how in the world did that happen? How did that happen? So we have to be very careful. We should know where our lines are, what we can cross and we can't cross, and why we're divided and separated. According to the Constitution, again, it's like those things are going out the window. So we have to be very
careful. Every member of Congress, I agree. Every member of Congress, you know, going back to the second impeachment, which was unconstitutional all the way through, you know, just even from the suggestion of it was unconstitutional. That's the problem. No one reads the Constitution anymore. No, I can almost guarantee, I could probably handpick maybe 10 members of Congress that have maybe read the Constitution within the time frame of them being in office. And what I would do, if I was Speaker of the House or one of the party leaders, on the new session of Congress, I would have everyone read and sign a copy of the Constitution.
Yes.
That way, when you open your mouth, you open your mouth and you say something stupid and unconstitutional, then I would know, and the whole world would know, that you're just against the Constitution because you sat here and read and signed it, saying that you read it, you uphold and support it. And you're sitting here trying to propose legislation, or you're making a suggestion of something that's totally unconstitutional. If you read it and you understood it, that wouldn't even formulate it in your brain. And that's how you hold people accountable. And that's
totally
one of the things
agree.
I'm gonna do. I would sit on the floor of the House, and as soon as somebody, you know, how everybody members of Congress have like 5 to 10 minutes to say something, you know, they're throwing out ideas or what have you. I would sit there and say, "You must didn't read the Constitution." They'd be like, "You're out of order. I don't care." You must didn't read the Constitution either. They would kick me out the chamber. They'd be like, "This dude cannot come back. No, he's out of control." Because that's the level of fidelity that we need to get back to.
Right? You got to follow rules. You got to follow laws. Just like the first impeachment. It doesn't matter who it is, if it's Democrat or Republican. All I'm saying is, because they didn't follow the law and the rules, if I was the head of one party, I would have said, "We're not participating. You don't have any votes from us," right away. Until you follow the rules. And that's the way in the military.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I like about the military is there's snitches everywhere. And so they will call you out.
Yeah.
I don't care what your rank is.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen there.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't. It doesn't, because they're once again, you know, they're all in that bubble, you know, they tend to forget who they worked for. That's number one. Number two, they tend to forget what the Constitution states. They tend to not even know what their own laws are, because Speaker Pelosi is sitting up here, you know, co-signing on members of Congress, you know, illegally trading stocks against their own Stock Act. The Stock Act, that's the very name of the law, is Stop Trading on Congressional Knowledge Act. That's the name of the bill. Stop Trading on Congressional Knowledge Act. And they violate their own rules.
I think you're forgetting those rules don't apply to them. They apply to the younger guy, people with no power. So they got to make their money somewhere, right?
Apparently. Yeah, exactly. So there's no way, you know, a member of Congress. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Nancy Pelosi is the most successful stock bidder in the history of the world, her and her husband. They're never wrong. For some reason, I don't know how that is. I don't know how that's even possible. But they've never lost anything.
Yeah.
So whatever she's got her hands into, you need to get into the same play.
I know, right? Because her husband banked $5 million bucks last year alone on the stock market. You know,
that's
crazy. She said that she doesn't have any knowledge of what he's doing. Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. Oh, where's that $5 million
coming
from? Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah.
So
there's just no way that, you know, you laying your head down at night next to somebody and they're telling you, "Honey, we just made $5 million and you just roll over and go to sleep." That just doesn't happen in this world. Oh, sorry. Crazy.
Or I didn't know my driver was a Chinese spy.
They
just ignore everything. The laws don't apply to them. Don't worry about it. Nothing to see over here.
Yeah.
That's how they live.
Madness. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. It's madness. And I tell my friends, and even Alaskans, I say, if you even get a whiff that I'm acting anything like that, you better call me.
Right.
You better reel me in real quick, because it's easy to get caught in that. I understand, because I spent some time down in D.C. You know, I know it's easy to get sucked into that life, but yeah, no, I've seen it, so I understand it, and I'm disgusted by it.
When you get elected, I'm coming to visit you.
Please,
I'm coming to the house. I'd love to.
Yes, please.
That'd be an honor. And I'll keep you straight too.
Yeah, please do. Like I said,
I don't think you have a problem. You're good.
No, I'm going there for a few years to work for the Alaskan people, work for the American people, and going back into my retirement. I'm retired now. I don't need this job.
Yeah. Exactly.
I enjoy sleeping in. I enjoy, you know, waking up and getting up and doing whatever comes to mind. But duty calls, and I'm always willing to answer to duty.
I'm very proud of you and what you're doing. I remember I retired for what, a year and a half, and I got bored. So as long as you have something to do, I think that's a great thing. I went back to work because I needed to. But that's just me. But you did your time. You served your country and you reaped the benefits from it. I think that's pretty awesome. You take that integrity and strength into the Congress with you. That's even better. And I love the people, even presidents that have military backgrounds, and we don't see those anymore much.
Mm-hmm.
People who understand those things. And it's like, it's a whole other, people talk about fraternities and things like that, but this is a huge fraternity. You're in it for 20 years or more. That's gigantic. I mean, you live that. You live, eat, and sleep. And that's just a culture you can't get out of your mind. Just like all the Marines always say they're Marines, even if they're not Marines or they get to another service.
Mm-hmm.
That is the mindset
absolutely.
Of the career people in the military. And I always think, well, it's been in the military for 5 or 6 years. You're not really in. You forget everything. It's all gone, you know. That's just my personal
mm-hmm.
thing. But
mm-hmm.
when you do a career thing, that's a huge deal. That's your whole – that's your life. You're a lifer. That means a lot. And you're dedicated, totally dedicated. So thank you
absolutely.
For your service.
Very
I want
true.
To say that first.
But thank you for yours as well.
Thank you. And I hope you serve again. I'm hoping you serve again in the, you know, Congress as a federal employee. And, well, kind of a federal employee. And
I'm an employee of the American people.
That's right. And my thing, if I was a congressman, I would say, hey, I have people saying you got to do this. And my answer is, I work for the state of Alaska. I work for the state of Ohio. I don't work for you. So what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
What can they do?
Yeah, exactly.
My allegiance is
and that's my
America.
Answer.
Yes. Yes. You're right. Because that's the way, this is how we used to do things in the military. You know who your boss is. You know who you're working for. There's no question
mm-hmm.
of the rank of the chain of command. Now, there's a chain there, but ultimately, you owe everything to your state, and you work collectively representing your state to make these votes for these things that they're bringing in front of Congress, and that's your job. But I think
absolutely.
The bottom
exactly.
line is, yeah, the bottom line is you know who you're supposed to be loyal to, and you represent the people. That's who you're representing. And fortunately, I like what I hear from you, and I appreciate everything you've said, and it's been an awesome interview. I had no idea you knew anything about sobriety. That's a huge deal. So I had to pick your mind on that.
Oh, yeah.
So that's –
yes, absolutely.
That's
anytime.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So, if you want to come back on anytime, I appreciate having you in the future.
Yeah, I would love
see
to.
How your campaign
I would love
is
to,
different.
You know. Yeah, absolutely. And for folks, you know, that's listening tonight, they can go to my website, rpurham4us.com. So it's rpurham4us.com. And they can see my platform. I lay everything out where I stand on issues. And they can stay in Alaska to be a volunteer for the campaign and all that good stuff. And I'll be honored to come back and kick it again with you.
Sure. So everybody, Randy Turham, running for Alaska. It's www.rpurham4us.com. And everybody knows this. I was with my one of my nephews over the weekend, He's running for a position in Ohio, Kentucky, sorry. Some kind of city, I think, thing. And he was talking about donations. I accept donations. That's one of the most important things. That's the American way. If you guys want to get to Randy's campaign, then I'm going to put that, I'll post that on my page about that, about your website. I usually do that, I promote that. People living in Alaska, you know, make sure you get out and vote, and that's the most important thing. That's your right, and you can't have the machine replace you. You got to do it yourself. Take that time to go get it done.
Yep.
It should be one day only. That's just my opinion. That's the way it's always been. Even when I was in the military, I couldn't vote early. I just voted absentee while I was gone. And I expected that vote to go through, just like you did.
Mm-hmm.
Your vote's supposed to count. Been on the war path or, you know, in a combat zone too many times for it not to count. And that's only fair.
Yeah, absolutely. That's true. And I sat down during my deployments. I even voted, you know, during my deployments and stuff. So it is our civic duty and responsibility to participate in our electoral process, and that's what we need to do as Americans. Regardless of where you're at.
I love the fact that you're a patriot and you love America. That's the most important thing. That's what I love about your attitude, and everything's coming out. I mean, from your inner self. And I understand that you learned that stuff in the military as well. And people that are woke don't make it long there. Their careers don't go very far because people don't realize that. And that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They don't last too long.
You're right.
So the lifers are the people that, I'm not going to say admire more the most, but these are people that actually dedicated their lives. And I appreciate those people and what they've done. And they loved it. The lifers loved what they did. So, and that's the difference between a regular job and a military job. You're dedicated to that job 100% to the Constitution, defending the president, not the man, but the president, like you said earlier. Not just the office. You salute the vehicle of the colonel instead of the colonel that's in the vehicle.
Yes, exactly.
That's allegiance to the concept, not allegiance to the people. And I love what you said.
Exactly.
Lawful orders are lawful orders. So, sorry, I got my soapbox there, but I want everybody to support Randy Perham, great guy, patriot, not rare anymore, black conservative, and proud Army veteran. No, not these days. Things are changing. I think when you go run for Congress, you're going to see the big wave go back in. So I think that's going to go work for you big time. I think you're going
to
see a lot of changes. Yes. So, but anyway,
absolutely.
Thank you, Randy.
Yes, thank you for having me, Kevin. I appreciate it. No problem.
I got the English 90 seconds call, so I'll talk to you later. You take care.
Okay, you too. Thank you again.
All right, thank you. All right, that was Randy. That was awesome, wasn't he? He's got his things together, his plans and everything. I really like what he's doing. I support what he's doing, and I hope he actually gets in. That makes me. That gives me a little trip to Congress, to Washington. That would be cool, pretty cool. You go into the Capitol without, you know, being invited in. It's a little different than what happened on the 1st January, but that would be awesome. Anyway, that's it for the show tonight. And I appreciate everybody listening and appreciate our caller from New Jersey and all the people around the world that actually listen to the show. Yeah, I said actuals, but they do. And my friends and family for putting up with me doing this, and I appreciate that too. And we'll be here next week. I might rerun this program, I'm not sure yet. But I'll be on the way down to Florida to visit my daughter in Jacksonville. We'll be there for about 5 days. We'll drive back up, and we're back for the next program. Maybe. We'll see how that goes. All right, everybody, have a good night.